Good evening. I'm so glad you're here. I get choked up when I think about, can you fathom and or even imagine what it's going to be like in heaven? One family. See, we're family here. There's family in heaven. And we're united. Amen. Let's stand up. Father, tonight, we're so grateful and thankful, Lord, that we're a family. And as a family, we come together to remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and all that He accomplished for us on the cross. And so, Lord, we prepare our hearts to remember Him this evening and to give You all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Father's arms are open wide. Healing's pouring. Precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. was born with
the precious blood of
Jesus Christ. So come to Father's arms, open wide. Tell the world the treasure you found. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world the treasure you found. Jesus. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy. King Jesus. For you reign in majesty. Yes, you reign with all authority. Lord, you reign in your glory. King Jesus, King Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. King Jesus. King Jesus.
Sing worthy.
You are worthy. King Jesus.
You are worthy, our Lord and Savior, our soon coming King. We give you glory, honor, and praise this evening. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to, before we receive communion, I'd had it on my heart just to do a little teaching on the cross. We're going to look at five symbols of the cross. But before I do this, I'm going to just read a page out of Rick Renner's book. If you want to understand the death, burial, and resurrection and look at it in the Greek language, there's some rich nuggets here. But I want to read to you and quote Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, when Jesus hung on the cross, beaten almost beyond human recognition, he was subjected to intense, ugly verbal abuse. The soldiers at his feet scoffed, religious leaders laughed, and even a criminal being crucified nearby sneered at him. In this eternally pivotal moment, all of creation should have rejoiced, for the creator of the universe was paying the ultimate price for the redemption of mankind. It was the single greatest act of love the world had ever witnessed, but instead of comprehending the supreme price Jesus was paying that day, the crowd arrogantly jeered, mocked, and scorned. Have you ever pondered how all of this ridicule affected Jesus' emotions when he was dying on the cross? Let me ask you, what if you were hanging on the cross and people laughed and mocked at you as you died before them? How would you be tempted to feel at that moment? Jesus' body had already been ripped to shreds by the vicious beating he received in the residence of Pontius Pilate. Roman soldiers in Pilate's court laughed at him, mocked him, and played humiliating games with him. One by one, a whole cohort of soldiers took turns spitting on him, slapping him, striking his face with a reed they'd taken from a nearby fountain in Pilate's palace. It was extreme verbal, mental, and physical abuse. Then the soldiers jammed a crown of thorns so firmly on Jesus' head that the long, sharp spikes perforated his skin and scraped across his skull, causing blood to stream down from his brow like a river until his entire face was covered with it. The thick, sticky blood matted his eyebrows and eyelashes, making it difficult for him to see. Huge 9-inch iron nails were driven through his hands and feet, which pierced his nerves and sent signals of pain throughout his entire body. The weight of Jesus' body hanging from those nails dislocated his shoulders, and his joints were pulled out of place. He struggled to breathe every breath as his lungs began to fill with fluids that would eventually suffocate him. Making this unimaginably horrific experience even worse was the fact that Jesus had been completely stripped naked and hung on the cross, humiliated before the hostile crowd. Putting one's naked body on public display was a great indignity in Jewish culture, thus making the ordeal especially shameful for him. Yet Jesus endured all of this agony, pain, and embarrassment willingly. Why? Because his death was the price demanded to purchase forgiveness and redemption for the very people who had done all of this to him. He was dying for the very people who sneered at him, for the criminals who laughed at him, for the soldiers who mocked him, for the religious leaders who demanded his crucifixion, and for you and me. You know, I know that's not something that you want to think about, but we need to. We need to understand what he went through. Amen. The cross, number one, is a symbol of shame and suffering. In fact, we read that in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1 and 2. It says, he endured. Everyone say endured. Now, that word in the Greek means this. It describes a person who is under some type of incredibly heavy load, but refuses to stray from his position because he's committed to his task. Amen. Jesus was committed to his task. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 44, it says, in being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. He bore the sin of all mankind. Talk about a burden. Matthew 26:53, verse 53 states, or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, Jesus said, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? That's 72,000 angels. But he didn't, because he was committed to endure the cross for you and for me. He was committed to the Father's plan of redemption to free us from the bondage of Satan and sin. 1 John 3 verse 8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Then there's the phrase, other than enduring, it says he despised the shame. That means to look down upon, to detest, to be repulsed and disgusted. Jesus Christ hung naked. Most people, I gave communion to a couple elderly ladies today, and after I read that about Jesus hanging naked, she says, I didn't know that. He was naked. How humiliating, how embarrassing do you think that was for him? Amen? Let's read this together. I'm going to have some confessions after each symbols that I give you. Let's say this together. Jesus, I thank you that you were committed to suffer the spiritual, mental, and physical abuse of the cross for me. You bore all my sins, sickness, and shame. I have been redeemed by your precious blood. Amen. Number two, the cross was a symbol of wisdom and power, but not the world's wisdom and power, God's wisdom and power. The believer's source of power and authority was restored by Christ's death on the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1:18 states, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The world does not understand the wisdom of God, the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." They had no clue, no idea. Romans 5 verse 17. "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ." And see, we reign in life because we have the wisdom of God. We can tap into the wisdom of God. The world doesn't understand it. And let me tell you something, in the days ahead, the weeks and the months ahead, they think they know it. They think they know what they're going to do. They don't have a clue what God, our Savior, is going to do. Amen. Let's make another statement, if you can. The next one, please. "Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your death on the cross restored my authority and rulership with the Father. I have received an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I now reign in this life through you." Amen. Number three. "The cross was a symbol of reconciliation." Say reconciliation. That's a big word. It's an easy word to define, though. Reconcile means to reestablish, to restore relationships, make things right. Jesus hung on a cross, very simply, to make things right. "We've been reconciled to the Father through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus." If you have your Bibles, if you can even see, Colossians. Look at Colossians, please. Chapter 1. The cross is a symbol of reconciliation. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him," or in Christ, "all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Say, "I've been reconciled to the Father because of the cross." How many of you have ever reconciled a relationship? Somebody that you were having problems with, maybe you parted company, but then you came back together. Remember how good that is? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the familiar passage of Scripture. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ." Now listen. "And has given us" what? "The ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors." Say, "I'm an ambassador for Jesus." We are ambassadors for Christ, and though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. You need to understand something. Everyone in this room is called to the ministry of reconciliation. You don't have to be a fivefold ministry gift. What's that mean? That means you and I need to go out and tell our neighbors, our co-workers, whoever we rub shoulders with every day, that Jesus loves them, that Jesus paid the price on the cross. Is it good that you point out their sin? There's only one sin that keeps you from the Father in heaven, and that's rejecting the Son. So you don't want to go and belittle people and judge people and put people down and tell them they're sinners. You need to tell them they're loved by God. Amen. Amen. Let's read this next one. Lord Jesus, I thank you because of your sacrifice on the cross. I am now reconciled with the Father. I am now holy and blameless in your sight. Please use me to lead others to salvation and a relationship with you. Amen. Number four, the cross is a symbol of self-denial. Look at Philippians chapter 2. The cross is a symbol of self-denial. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Did Jesus humble himself? Did he deny himself? Yes, he did. Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 24. Do we need to deny ourselves? Yeah. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, being a disciple of Jesus means giving up all our own selfish ambitions. Is that easy sometimes? No, look at John 13. John 13. John 13 and verse 12. The cross is a symbol of self-denial. It says, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you what? Do them. Jesus Christ did not come to be served, but to serve. Amen. Let's make this confession. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you humbled yourself to obey the death of the cross. Help me be an example of your selflessness and servanthood. Amen. One more. The cross is a symbol a victory. Everyone say victory. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. The cross is a symbol of victory. Look at verse 11. It says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him, through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's good news. You and I have the victory through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we overcome daily by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17 says this. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Now listen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. What's that mean? He has authority. He has the keys of authority. Do we have the keys of authority? Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You bet we have authority. And I'm going to tell you something. We've been teaching on authority. But in the days ahead, if you call yourself a believer, you better know how to exercise your delegated authority in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean like a lot of people right now are going to, as soon as that eclipse, they're going to run to the basement. Oh, I'll guarantee you, there are a lot of people in fear right now. Amen? They shouldn't be. It's like Pastor Hank said, God made the sun and the moon. Right? Why should we be all nervous? Amen? But in the days ahead, you're going to have to, and I'm going to have to exercise authority. Because it is going to get darker, folks. But the church is going to rise up and get brighter. Exercising our authority in Christ Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I have the victory through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's do this last confession. Lord Jesus, I thank you for conquering Satan and all his demonic forces by your death on the cross. Your victory is my victory, and I now have authority over all the power of the enemy. Amen, amen, amen. As we go into communion this evening, I want to share with you, how many of you have Jack Hayford's book? I had two or three people tell me, did you read the chapter on communion? And I said, no, I hadn't, but I will, and I did, and it's excellent. I'm going to make five statements that he made from the book. They're very good. What's communion all about? Number one, communion is a celebration of Christ's victory over the powers of hell. Amen? Number two, communion is a proclamation of redemption. There's healing available through the broken body of Christ and forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. Number three, communion is a declaration of dependence. Our dependence upon Him for life and salvation, and our dependence on one another, the body of Christ. See, it's this way, and then it's this way for us. We need to learn in the days ahead to depend on one another. Why? Because we all have a gift. We all have something to contribute that the body needs. Don't let the devil beat you up and tell you that you don't have anything to contribute, because you do. If you're a born-again child of God, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen? Number four, communion is a time of self-examination. We must examine our hearts humble ourselves and repent of our sin. Finally, number five, communion is a reception of provision. It's a reception of provision, a testimony of God's provision for every area of our life, holiness, health, wholeness. Everything you have need of has been provided through Jesus and is being provided to you through his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Amen. We invite you, if you're here tonight, if you're a guest, if you're a born-again believer, you're more than welcome to receive communion with all of us, because we're going to do it as a family tonight. Amen. Your cups, there's two cups. The second cup has the wafer on the bottom. You all understand? So if you wonder where the wafer is, it's in the second cup. So the ushers will wait upon you, and then we're going to wait. We're going to receive communion together as a family then. Go ahead, ushers.
To come to Jesus and lay it all down. Come to Jesus.
Thank you.
Come right now. Oh, who are weary and all who are thirsty. Come to Jesus. Come right now. So come to the cross where you'll find your healing. Come to the blood that bought your freedom. And come to the Savior who paid for your forgiveness. Come to Jesus. Come right now. Come to Jesus. Lay it all down. Come to Jesus. Come right now. Oh, who are weary and all who are thirsty. Come to Jesus. Come right now. So come to the cross, you'll find your healing. Come to the blood that bought your freedom. And come to the Savior who paid for your forgiveness. Come to Jesus. Come right now. I come to Jesus. Come right now. And Lord, I thank you for the cross. Yes, I thank you for the cross. Lord, I thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. And so I thank you for the cross where I found my healing. I thank you for the blood that bought my freedom. So I thank you, my Savior. I know that I'm forgiven. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross.
Amen. Has everyone been served? Yeah, they're okay. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the precious body of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that it endured on the cross. We're so thankful, Lord, he was committed to pay the ultimate price for our salvation, for our eternal life, for our reconciliation with you again, Father. We remember the body that was beaten and bruised. Stripes were laid upon your back, Lord Jesus. And with your stripes, we are healed. So, Lord, we have a special provision. We have healing that we can partake of tonight because it's part of the table. It's part of the covenant that we have in you. And so, Father, we receive this bread tonight as a symbol of your precious body. And Lord, we also remember we're all part of the same body and we need each other. We thank you for the cup that represents your precious blood. For without the shedding of blood, there be no remission of sin. There be no forgiveness of sin. The life is in the blood. And you shed your life for us. You gave your life for us that we might have eternal life. So we receive this cup tonight. And we declare and decree we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I'll have you stand, please. Won't you join hands? Father, tonight I pray a special blessing upon every family here, every individual family, and every family, Lord God, corporately. We need each other. And so, Lord, we thank you for your supernatural peace to rule and reign in all the hearts and minds of everyone here this night. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, to help us in the days ahead, overcome and exercise our God-given authority in Jesus. So tonight we declare we do overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ and will in the days ahead continue to overcome because of all that you did for us on the cross. We remember you tonight, Jesus. We love you. We honor you. And we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We invite you, if you don't have a place to go Sunday, you're more than welcome to come here and celebrate the resurrection Amen. Of our Lord and Savior. Amen.